Next November 28th, the green lights over the grid in Jeddah will go out and the first Saudi Arabian Grand Prix will roar into life. And though 20 Formula One cars raise a mightily impressive din at the start of a race, they will need to rev extra hard to have any hope of drowning out the row about the propriety of this event occurring at all. A row to which this very explainer is about to make a modest contribution. Let's look at the undeniable upsides first, which won't take too long. In and of itself, the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix will doubtless be a splendid spectacle. It is to be held at night on a street circuit in Jeddah. The precise layout remains to be confirmed, but it seems certain that one part of the track will conduct Formula One's svelte machines down the Corniche, the boulevard which hugs the Red Sea coast. And the Saudis will certainly dredge deeply from their bottomless pit of money to render proceedings as sumptuously extravagant as possible. It might even be of crucial importance in the context of next season. The Saudi Arabian Grand Prix will be the second last race of the year, so if 2021 turns out not to be yet another procession led by Lewis Hamilton at the wheel of his Mercedes...
Cometh the hour, cometh the man. Lewis Hamilton starts an incredible qualifying lap.
There could still be much to play for when the teams arrive in Jeddah. So that's the good news. Then there are the reasons why this addition to the Formula One calendar is the stuff of foreign desk explainers. It is hopefully not necessary to re-emphasise the variety and or severity of the ways in which the Saudi regime is one of the world's most repressive. We do not have all day, still less all month. It is, suffice to say, a regime which ethically inclined businesses would tend to regard from the far end of a barge pole. Formula One does not appear overly troubled on this front. In recent years alone, races have been held in Russia, Azerbaijan, Bahrain and China, none of whom would be within sight of the podium at any sort of Grand Prix of human rights. It is probably not outrageous to suggest that Formula One's principal objections to holding a race meeting in North Korea, Iran, Equatorial Guinea or Turkmenistan would be logistical rather than ethical. So we know what Formula One wants from this. What's more interesting is what Saudi Arabia is after. Saudi Arabia has some history of recognising the immense soft power possibilities of Formula One. In the late 1970s and early 1980s, Saudi state airline Saudia sponsored the UK-based Williams team. Australian driver Alan Jones carried their logo to the 1980 World Championship.
Up to the chequered flag and past it goes Alan Jones. What a wonderful way to finish his 1980 World Championship year.
Riyadh's re-engagement with the sport is being pitched as part of the modernising reformist agenda of ambitious Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, though it does not feel untowardly churlish to note that MBS's efforts to haul Saudi Arabia into the mid-19th century have made some distinctly old-school detours via, for example, conducting a ruinous rampage in neighbouring Yemen and dispatching hitmen to murder a vexatious journalist.
The UN's extrajudicial executions investigator Agnes Callamard has just released a report that paints a damning picture of Saudi Arabia's role in the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
All of which is tricky to square with Formula One's commitment to respect for human rights, which F1 has typed out on their website and everything. It promises to, it says here, engage in meaningful consultation with relevant stakeholders in relation to any issues raised as a result of our due diligence, a sentence which could have been designed to lull readers to sleep inside four syllables. Human rights groups are already speaking of their hope that Lewis Hamilton, who, barring mishap, will be defending his seventh world championship next season, might get out in front of this. Hamilton has grown more politically outspoken this year in particular. Among the slogans on the Black Lives Matter t-shirt he wore at this year's Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix was, "Women's rights are human rights." A repeat performance would give Saudi broadcasters amusing conniptions. Saudi Arabia is clearly keen on what has become known as sports washing, the tactic beloved of unpleasant regimes of staging sporting circuses in the hope that they may distract from your moral infirmities and impress with your economic progress. In recent years, Saudi Arabia has hosted international golf, tennis, equestrian, and other tournaments. Formula One, one of the planet's most popular television spectacles, is a massive step up. As Saudi Arabia may discover, the attention can cut both ways. If they weren't hosting a Grand Prix, for example, at least one fewer radio explainer would be ending on the leaden zinger that Saudi Arabia only began letting women drive at all 2 years ago, and that a dozen women are still on trial in Saudi Arabia for challenging this and other such restrictions on their liberty. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.